Hello, this is Wayne Dyer, and welcome to the Inner Wisdom Library. Those of you who have been following my work over the years know that what I talk about is really a reflection of where I am in my life at any given period of time. My policy has always been to share from my heart where I am, what I'm doing, and what I've learned. 20 years ago, if you would have asked me what my work was about, I would have said it's about choosing to be the kind of person you want to be. If you would have asked me 15 years ago, I would have probably said my message is about not being a victim. And if you'd have asked me 10 years ago, I probably would have said it was about self-actualization and learning to live from your highest self. If you'd have asked me 8 years ago even, I probably would have talked about the process of enlightenment. And 4 years ago, I would have talked about transformation and the divine side of who you are as a human being. Even a couple of years ago, I would have talked about miracles and creating magic in your life by going within. And today, at this time in my life, at this age, I talk about how to manifest your destiny through the power of meditation, and that each of us have a divine power within us. And when we understand that that power is an energy that is connected to everything in the world and we surrender to it, is the difference between knowing about enlightenment and being enlightened. And what I've just presented is sort of a picture of my evolution, if you will. I've gone from being a person who focuses on managing emotions and being disciplined in our lives to not being victimized by applying our intellect to how we use this discipline in the world, to ultimately understanding unconditional love and what it means to be self-actualized, and ultimately to learn to trust in our higher self and in the wisdom of creation. And what I've learned is that this is how enlightenment works. We begin the process of enlightenment by focusing on our inner self and consciously working on it until our inner turmoil disappears and we feel a sense of inner peace. And when you have an authentic inner sense of love and harmony, that's precisely what you have to give away. You see, the purpose of life is not to get, but to give. It's only when we've taken care of ourselves and feel good about who we are that we're able to give to others. And I hope as you listen to this entire library, you too will recognize your own spot on this path and understand that you're meant to live a full life of freedom, love, compassion, joy, and bliss. It isn't like you arrive at any one particular point and you finally say, yes, I have it. Life is a continuing, ongoing process. My life at this point, as this library is being presented to you, reflects a kind of surrender that I have made in my life, a kind of knowing that I'm not alone. As it says in A Course in Miracles, if you knew who walked beside you at all times on this path that you have chosen, you would never experience fear again. And I have surrendered in that sense. And you'll see this growth and this evolution portrayed here in the Inner Wisdom Library. God bless you. I send you love and all green lights on your own path.
For over 25 years, Dr. Wayne Dyer has been renowned worldwide for his genius in making challenging new ideas accessible to all. His name alone calls to mind some of the most visionary principles of human potential ever conceived. And now, for the first time ever, you can experience his revolutionary ideas and insights in this collection of live and studio recordings. Welcome to the Inner Wisdom Library, where Dr. Wayne Dyer will provide you with guidance on how to live a more peaceful, spiritual existence and show you how to manifest your heart's innermost desires and fulfill your deepest purpose. The Inner Wisdom Library brings you the best that Wayne Dyer has to offer on topics such as attitude, purpose, knowing, self-actualization, relationships, and many more. Introduced by his friends and colleagues in the field of personal development, each volume will lead you to higher levels of consciousness and self-awareness and bring you the wit and wisdom, warmth and humor that has become his trademark. The Nightingale Conant Corporation is pleased to present the Inner Wisdom Library. And now, Volume 1, Creating Your Life with Your Thoughts.
Thought is everything. think of the relationships that you're in right now. All the relationships that you're in. Your husband, your wife, your children, your grandparents, the people that you work with. And just close your eyes just for a moment and understand they're not here. You are here alone right now. What is it that constitutes the relationship that you have with everyone else in your life? Just thought. That's all. It's just thought. What is it that constitutes everything that has happened to you up until this moment right now? Thought. Wispy thoughts. You can't get a hold of them. You can't grab them. You can't smell them. You can't experience them. You think about your wife, or you think about your child, or your husband, and you understand that when you see another human being, what you are seeing is thought. You are experiencing everyone that you experience through your mind, not through your body, not through your mind. They're not here, and yet they are, aren't they? They're not here, and yet you're in a relationship with them, aren't you? Of course you are, but they're not here. You don't have them. You don't have any form. Everything you experience in life is thought. It's thought. And the beauty of that and the glory of this is that thought is yours to do anything you want with. And when you use your thought, which is your whole experience of everything on this planet, when you use your thought to violate the principles that hold the whole system together, which is love, which is harmony, which is cooperation, harmony with the component parts of who you are in cooperation with the parts next to you and the ones next to you and so on, that when you use your thought in this way, you can transcend your form and you can transcend anything else that gets in the way of your life being exactly what it ought to be, that is, its perfection, its fellowship with the perfection of the universe, by simply thinking as you are, in the perfection that you are. And that's all it takes. There's no more magic to it than that. You change your thought, which is your experience of everything, the way that you think. Thought is everything.
I can remember one story of a woman who came to me one time and told me how miserable she was, that she was married to a drunk. And I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, well, he slurs his words and he repeats himself and he smells bad and it's just awful to be around him. And I said, let's see if I understand. Let's see who's crazy in this little scenario you've just described. Now, you said you've married to a drunk. And the drunk slurs his words, and he repeats himself, and he smells bad, and he sounds foolish. I said, that's every drunk I've ever known does exactly that. We got a drunk who's acting and doing everything that you would expect a drunk to do. Now we got you. And you're married to someone that you call a drunk, and you're expecting him to be sober. You know, now, who's crazy? The drunk who's doing what he's supposed to? Or you who's expecting someone who is what you've defined him to be something different than what they are? He is what he is. And why would you want to entertain, why would you want to keep thoughts in your mind that are making you miserable, which is going to expand misery for you in your life by just having those thoughts there? Why not change around those thoughts and tell yourself that you're, like, if you argue for your misery, then the only thing you're going to get is your misery. You have to get that, and you're arguing for it all the time. You're going around talking about how miserable you are. So you want to get real careful about that.
The interesting thing about the positive and the negative are that we're learning through biochemical exploration and engineering, there are enzymes in the brain that release different endorphins into your brain as a result of the way that you think. A person who thinks a positive thought is not just saying, oh, goody, I'm just thinking positive thoughts. They are affecting the chemistry of their body. And when you look at things like schizophrenia and some of the least understood of the mental illnesses, we say, yes, there's chemical imbalances there. And the scientists all get together and say, yeah, it's chemistry. What are you talking about, all this thinking stuff? If we can alter the chemistry, we can alter the disease. Of course, it's true. I buy it 100%, but it's only 50% of the battle. What causes the chemistry to change in a human being? What causes an ulcer? Isn't that a chemical change brought about as a result of thinking? Isn't that what it is? Well, the same thing is true of a mental illness. Yes, the chemistry is different, but believe that you control your chemistry. It's your chemistry. You carry it around. It's yours. And every patient who I've ever worked with in the really severely disturbed realm still must understand that they're doing this to themselves. Yes, your chemistry is unbalanced, but don't believe that we're just going to put you on lithium or we're just going to put you on this drug and the drug is going to, for the rest of your life, do it. You've got to believe that you can, in fact, alter any chemistry within you through the way that you think. What do you think blood pressure going up when you're under pressure is about? It's a chemical change brought about through thought. What do you think hypnosis is? I mean, we use it in medical practice all the time. Dentists use it all the time. You put yourself into a different state. There's no chemistry. There's no drugs. You're not getting any anesthesia. You're putting your brain into what is called an alpha state. And in that state that you change through thought, which is everything. Remember, it's what you are. Thought is what you are. Thought is also what your husband is and what your children are. It's just your perceptions of them. That's all you get. You can't get to the process of what that human being is. You can only get to one level removed from the process and accept them for what they are in the process that they are. And when you put yourself into this state in a dentist chair, they can drill all day. They can do root canals. And you can think of just anything that you want to. And my dentist told me, Sid Weber, who used to be my dentist when I was living up here, told me that when he was undergoing training to learn this hypnotism, someone told him that he would give a post-hypnotic suggestion that his wedding ring was very hot and that he wouldn't be able to stand the heat of it, so that when that suggestion was given, his mind would go into this other state and he would have to take it off because it would be very uncomfortable. And he went through this thing and then he mentioned the word, the hypnotic suggestion, and his finger started getting very hot and he couldn't get the ring off because it was swollen. And finally, after a lot of struggling, he got it off, and there was like a third-degree burn around his finger. And this is a guy right here in town who's a practicing dentist. And the stories of the kinds of things that you can do through thought are not some magic boogaboo kind of thing. The man in India that we're talking about, who has an ashram in southern India, he's supposedly the highest spiritual being on our planet. He's this peaceful, beautiful human being who can make ashes like come out of the air. He's pulling dust out of the air through his belief in it. And everybody's going, ooh, how do you do that? I got to get you on the Merv Griffin show. For him, it's just as easy as it is for you to get up and brush your teeth in the morning. It's because of the pureness of that thinking system. I can control my thoughts. Store that away. My feelings come from my thoughts. My emotions, my angers, my hatreds, my love, my positive emotions, my negative emotions are all preceded by thoughts. They're the result of thoughts. They're the physiological reactions to thoughts. And emotions, which are very vital and very important to each one of us, can in fact be controlled by our thoughts in positive ways. I'm not an anti-emotion person. I'm not someone who believes that you shouldn't be emotional. I'm saying your emotions should never be immobilizing. They should never be defended as something that you use to keep yourself from being all that you can be or explaining it all away because I'm just this kind of person. I've always been this way. I can't help it. That's my nature. That's the kind of person I am. You are the kind of person you have chosen to be as a result of how you use what you are, the pureness of your thought. It's all that you are. Your form is leaving. It's changing. In that little tiny drop of protoplasm that once was you, everything was programmed in you. Every hair that you have and every one that fell out. It was in that little drop of protoplasm, all right? That little tiny drop of protoplasm changes and changes, and everything that you need to be all that your form needs to house this soul that you are and these thoughts that you are wears out and changes and dies. But thoughts never die. Thoughts never die. That's what it means to be transformed. You've gone beyond your form. And everyone who has ever died, every form that has ever been in your life who has ever died, none of the thoughts that they are could possibly have died. How do you kill a thought? It's the highest form of vibration in the universe. How can you kill it? It's there. Be in tune with it. And you know, we would have a lot less trouble with death if we began to understand that death is just merely a form of transformation. It's all it is. It's a beautiful form. Imagine how necessary it is. Imagine what our planet would be like without it. It'd be very crowded. And yet, there's room for thoughts forever in an unlimited universe. You can't run out of space because you don't need any space for thoughts, do you? And that's what you are. Before you came here in that little tiny drop, there was no space for you. You didn't occupy any space, yet your essence was there. And it will always be there. And it's nothing to ever fear. You don't kill thoughts. Thoughts are what you are. And you can control them all.
I was on the airplane coming here, and I had a baby carriage that I was giving to my brother, whose wife is going to have a baby. And I have little babies. I'm 46 years old. And I have an 18-month-old and a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, in addition to an 11-year-old and a 19-year-old. So I had this baby carriage that I was bringing up because my sister-in-law is going to deliver her baby at any time. And the stewardess came up to me and said, "That baby carriage up there, is that for your granddaughter?" And I thought to myself, how could she possibly think that someone as young as I am could be a grandfather? Even though it's very possible at 46 to be a grandfather, I thought to myself, I'm 14 years old. It's not possible for her to think that I could be a grandfather. How could a 14-year-old be a grandfather? That's my perception of myself. I see myself as a little boy. I act like a little boy. And I run every day, and I play tennis at a level that I couldn't play it at when I was a younger boy. I can do virtually anything that I want to. And intend to do that my entire life. Because it isn't your form that counts. It isn't the age of your body that counts. It's whether you transcend your form, right? That's what transformation comes from. Transform. Go beyond your form, all right? You're not your body. You are your conscious awareness, you are your thoughts, you are your feelings, you are those things that are intangible that you can't get a hold of because we've already occupied many different bodies already while we're here on this planet. I mean, I was in an 8-pound body, and I was in a body that was only 2.5 feet tall, and I was in a body that didn't have any hair on it, and then it had a whole bunch of hair on it, then it all fell out again later on. I mean, I've been in lots of different bodies, all right? And nothing about me, not one physical cell that was in my 10-year-old body is in the body that I carry now at 46. Not one cell, all right? They've all been changed. And yet, I can remember everything about what I did when I was 10 years old. So I am not that body, which is now gone. I am the thoughts behind it. I am not a body with a soul. I'm a soul with a body, all right? And when you understand that, you're aging, you're getting older, is not the condition of your body because you're not your body. You are thought. Thought is everything. Attitude is everything. So that getting older, having your form get older, is just one thing. But if you're transformed, if you've gone beyond your form, then you don't have to get older. It's just a way of looking at your life. And yes, your body will slow down, and yes, it won't be able to do the things that it could do at one time. But most of that is controlled by our thinking, by our attitudes. And I have a child inside of me. And I choose to think of myself, regardless of what anybody else thinks, even if a stewardess thinks that little baby carriage could be for a granddaughter, if that's what she thinks, that's just what she thinks. But if I don't think that way, and I don't think of myself as old or as getting worse or anything like that, if I see myself as the way that I think, the irony of all of this is that your body will respond in ways that are very healthful and even youthful. But if you focus just on your body, then you will notice everything about it that is changing and assess it in a way that says, I am deteriorating. But if what I am is not my body, but my thoughts, then it can never deteriorate. And you can't kill thoughts. You can't kill feelings. You can only kill form, and form dies, all right? But if you are not that form, then you know that your conscious awareness can never die. You can't change that. It just changes from one form to another form to another form. And that's the way I tend to look at it. And so I don't see any effects of my form getting older. I see every once in a while a new little wrinkle. I'll see changes in that have taken place in my body. But I am not that. That is not what I am. And I see a phenomenal miracle in this whole business called life. And that doesn't have to change just because your form is growing older. It just doesn't have to. I don't, anyway, assess my value and worth as a human being based on my form, on my body. And then my body is able to stay in phenomenal shape because of the way that I think. I eat a third of what I used to eat, all right, in total bulk in a given day. I sleep probably a third less than I used to sleep. I don't put sugar into my body except just natural from fruits and things. I don't use salt on my foods at all. These are all things that I did regularly in my life. I exercise and walk almost everywhere that I go instead of getting in a car and being driven someplace. I run 8, 10, 12 miles every single day. None of these things were ever deliberate choices that I decided I better make because my body's getting older and I have to take better care of it. They came about, they followed me as a result of being in a higher state of pure thought, a higher state of self-acceptance, of seeing myself as an important, significant human being. And living that way and seeing other people that way and seeing the world that way in this more purified kind of way, more loving kind of way, all the other stuff is followed after me. It's alarming that when you unclog yourself, that your body goes right with it. And your body doesn't have to wear out nearly at the level that I once thought it had to. And I think if you keep a real strong grip on the way that you think and process your world, you will see your body getting healthier, more capable than you ever thought it would be. Even the total wearing out of your body, I think, is an attitude. I really do. Almost always, people have prepared themselves for death from the time that they know that there's such a thing. We're the only animal on our planet that does that. I mean, dogs don't go out there and prepare to die, and horses and mosquitoes and all that. They're just out there being, all right? And I've often said that we're not human doings, right? We're human beings. If we were just what we did, then somehow the term human doing would have evolved. But not, we're not. We're beings. We're beings. That means to be, all right? Not to judge, not to evaluate. And that if you don't prepare yourself for death and wearing out and getting sick and thinking that you're going to slow down, if you don't think in those kinds of ways because you are your thoughts, then I guess your body doesn't have to wear out. I mean, it sounds like a real radical kind of notion. But the cells don't wear out. There's something in the aging process that has to do with the thoughts that we are. And once we have learned how to transcend the kinds of thoughts that prepare us for getting older and more feeble, then I believe we will have conquered the aging process. Visualize for a minute a lemon. Got a lemon right here in my hand. Just sort of close your eyes and see this lemon. And hold your hand out, close your eyes, and see the lemon sitting right there on your hand. It's got a little nub at the top, comes to a point at the bottom. It's got just a little bit of moisture on the outside of the skin and those little indentations like a lemon has. Now hold the lemon and feel it and squeeze it just slightly. Now what I want you to do is think of your favorite paring knife, the little one with the tip that's broken off the edge. And I want you to take the lemon and I want you to place it down on a board. And I want you to cut right down the middle of the lemon. And I want you to put the pointed end in your hand and set the other end
of the lemon someplace else, and just hold that half a lemon in your hand. And take your finger in your mind and rub your finger along the top of the lemon. Just rub it along the top and feel its moisture. Just experience that in your mind, only in your mind. You're all thought. Now take the lemon and bring it up in your mind, close to your nose. Bring it right up to your nose and smell the lemon and smell its tartness and know exactly how it feels. And then set it back down. Now pick the same lemon up and bring it close to your mouth. And open your mouth, and I want you to take a bite of the lemon right here. Just take a bite. All right, right here. Ah, bite it. Okay? What's happening in your mouth? You feel the saliva coming into your mouth? Can you feel it? Just wait another few seconds. Can you feel it? It's a little drier. What does saliva do when acid comes into your mouth? What's the purpose of it? Can you feel it now? Now, there it is. Now you're really dry, aren't you? Hmm? All through thought. You brought something from another dimension, thought, into your consciousness and made yourself salivate through thought in order to protect your mouth from the invasion of citric acid. That's what happens when you put citric acid into your mouth. That's how powerful thought is. And that's what you are. Do you know you can do that? That at the Simonton Cancer Institute in Fort Worth, Texas, they are teaching people to do what I just did with you in 5 minutes, to treat themselves. And they're getting 25% remission rates, where 10 years ago they were getting 1%, through the power of this mind to heal. Because you no longer are trying to heal. You have to understand that if you're going to change a habit, you must be the habit. You are now the treatment. You are no longer the poison. If you take a cigarette and puff it and put it into your lungs, you are poison. Poison is you. It's in your esophagus, it's in your pancreas, it's in your liver, it's in your bloodstream. That's what you are. You have become the poison. When you no longer are the poison and you are the treatment, you no longer see yourself as a human doing. You're now a being who can walk right past people smoking and know that that isn't you any longer. You're no longer that. And you don't even have to do anything. You just have to become the treatment. Isn't that powerful, what thought can do? And that all of those tricks that we call miracles, we're all capable of by using thought.
Circumstances do not make a man. They reveal him. Boy, is that a lot of truth. And you know, a lot of people will think, yeah, but what about these poor people here? Yeah, circumstances reveal you. You got to get that. You got to know that in order to get to the point to forgive, that you have to have blamed. You really don't have anything to forgive. Forgiveness is really an empty thing. There's nothing to forgive. If you didn't blame, you wouldn't have anybody to forgive. So what you do is get past blame, and the way you get past that is to forgive people. And what you do then is forgive yourself for having blamed. And once you do that, then you don't blame anymore. You take responsibility for everything. How come when I go through the poorest neighborhoods, the poorest, where the unemployment rate is the absolute highest in the state of Florida, in a neighborhood 2 miles from where I live, 2 miles, and you see the sloppiest lawns any place in the state of Florida, and more trash on the front lawns than any place. How come? When the unemployment is so high. I mean, I would think it'd be the other way around. Now, these are people who got nothing else to do all day long. They're not working. And they got trash all over their lawns. I'm working my tail end off all 24 hours a day, and there's not a piece of trash on my lawn. How do you account for that? Circumstances do not make a man. They reveal him. You got to really get that. Now, if you've got scarcity in your life, you have to understand that what you think about expands. This is really important. If you can understand that whatever is missing in your life is what you think about all the time, if you think about all the things that are missing in your life and you wonder why they keep expanding, it's because you're thinking about them all the time, and you're acting on that scarcity consciousness. And that people who have enough, even though they don't have as much as you, don't ever think about what they don't have. They think about what they do have. If a guy with a scarcity consciousness has $100 in his pocket and $500 in debt, he's focusing on the debt. He's always focused on what's missing and what I got to pay. The other guy with a prosperity consciousness is thinking about the $100 he's got. I got $100 and is going to invest it or do something with it and is focused on that. And that, what he has here, will expand. And if you focus on your debt, then that will expand. And in your relationships, if you focus on what's missing in the person that you're in a relationship with, then that's what's going to expand. You're going to keep seeing it over and over again. You're going to say, you know, I'm in a relationship. And you say, oh, yeah, you're in a relationship. Whoa, whoa. Me too. I'm in a relationship too. Yeah, well, we got problems. Oh, yeah, you got problems? Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, we got problems too. You got problems? Yeah. I'm in a relationship, and we got problems, so there must be something wrong. Something wrong. Because you got problems in a relationship. So now you're focused on what's wrong. So now you got to call in a consultant to come in and help you with your relationship, but you can't afford it, so you can only call on yourself. But who are you going to call in? You got to call in somebody who's already wrong. So now you're calling in a disabled person to work on your relationship. What's the problem in your relationship? Well, she always whines, and then I always talk back to her real angry, and then she whines. Imagine calling in a consultant and being able to afford it, and the consultant walks in and says, well, how come you always talk like that, and you're always doing that to him? You say, wait a minute, you're disabled. You can't help us. You wouldn't call on somebody that was wrong in order to work on the things that were missing in your relationship, would you? You want to know why? Because nothing is missing. How could it be missing? What's missing? There's nothing missing. She is just the way she is. And if you've got problems, that's exactly the way it is. That's perfect. You're supposed to. There's nothing wrong with that. She's the way she is. You're the way you are. Stop making her wrong, and I'm going to work on that, and I'm going to look at what she is. It's like in the whole book that I wrote on raising children, on what do you really want for your children, the whole emphasis of it is find them doing things right. You want your kids to be troublemakers, catch them doing things wrong, and that will expand. You always focus on what's missing. There's a little girl in our neighborhood who comes over, and she's got her two fingers in her mouth all the time. And her father, every time she puts her hands in her mouth, he tells her to take her hands out of her mouth. So he's constantly thinking about this thing that she's doing that he doesn't like. And whenever she comes to our house, I say, Margot, fantastic, you don't have your fingers in your mouth. And she does. And whenever she sees me, she's always taking her fingers out of her mouth. When she sees her father, she's putting them in because that's what he expects. And her mother will come to pick her up, and I'll say, guess what, Debbie? Margot didn't have her fingers in her mouth for 3 hours today. Isn't that terrific? And she looks so proud, and she looks so happy. And then her father gets in the car, and he's like, damn it, I told you, take your fingers out of your mouth. He's always catching her doing things wrong. What you think about expands. So all the things that are missing in your life that you don't like, all the problems, all the lack of money, all the lack of whatever it is that you think you would like to have, that is expanding because that's what you think about. And if you want abundance in your life, then focus on everything you have and be really, really grateful for anything that you have. And understand that you can't own anything anyway. You just get a little lease on it. Is that helpful? Every time I start thinking about what my wife should be like, then she continues to be the way she shouldn't be. But whenever I remind myself of how great she is and how wonderful she is and how much I love her and I'm so thankful that she's in my life and she's just such a light. So I don't want to focus on that, what's missing, ever. I don't want to focus on it. I want to focus on what is there, and let that expand, and it will expand because of what I just said about visualization, right? You act upon what you think about, and your feelings come from what you think about. Feelings come from thoughts. They're the physical reaction to thoughts. So if you've got a lot of unhappy feelings, you got to look at the thoughts that back them up and start expanding in your universe, in your one song, what you want to expand, not what is scarce. Get off of scarcity thoughts unless you want them to continue to expand. And that's the whole basis on abundance. It's so easy to get.
It all works perfectly. It all works perfectly when you get your thoughts on what you have rather than what's missing.
I just saw on TV the other night a wonderful story of Mary Thomas, the mother of Isaiah Thomas, the great basketball star of the Detroit Pistons. And she had one line in there where she said, "I'm not poor. I've been broke. I've been without money, but I'm not poor, and I've never been poor, and I never will be poor." And it's that kind of consciousness that I'm talking about. If you focus on what you want to expand in your life, and if you're always thinking about what you don't have, then what you don't have is going to expand. I was doing a radio show not too long ago in Washington, D.C., and this man called in from Jamaica, who had lived in Jamaica, who is now a medical doctor. He was one of 14 children growing up in Jamaica. Black man, had grown up in a very, very poor part of Jamaica, and he was raised by his grandmother. And his grandmother had always said to him, "Your mind is more powerful than anything else." He was calling in to validate some of the things that I was saying on the air, because I was getting some resistance from some of the people out there who were saying that, how can you say the kinds of things that you're saying to people who are in such poor circumstances? Don't you have any pity for them, and so on? I said, no. I said, the whole focus of what I was saying was that these are the people who need to hear the most what I've got to say, and that if you get your mind focused on what you want and never let your mind detract from that, then you'll act on that, and eventually you'll move out of those circumstances. And this fellow was saying how his grandmother had always told him, he was always interested in medicine and always wanted to be a doctor, and everybody just laughed at the idea of this little Jamaican boy in this little village in Jamaica and total poverty ever becoming a doctor. And he said, but my grandmother always said, never get the idea out of your mind. Never, ever let that idea go. Just keep that thought there. Just keep that thought there. And he said, I never let it go. I always thought it. And the more I thought it, the more I began to act on it. And as I acted on it, I began to do two jobs instead of one, and then three jobs. And then I began to extend away for medical books, and I began to study it, and I began to save all of my money. And then I began to apply for scholarships. And he was going through all of the things that he did that were a result of the ancestor to every action as a thought. All of these actions came from this one thought, right? And the thought was, I'm going to be a doctor. He had a big practice in Washington, D.C., and he was a very famous heart surgeon in Washington. And all because he never got rid of the thought. So whatever it is that you want to expand for yourself in your life, keep focused on that thought. I'm just beginning to understand that what we think about is much more powerful than I'd ever given consideration to before in my life. And I'm beginning to get evidence for it. I'm beginning to see it as I look back on things. When I was a little boy, we had a Admiral television set in 1951. I was 11 years old. We were one of the few people in the neighborhood to have this little TV. I used to stay up late at night and watch the Tonight Show with Steve Allen on it. And I had this thought. And it was a very powerful thought. And the thought was that I would be on The Tonight Show. I just knew it. And I used to tell my brothers what I was going to talk about when I would be on The Tonight Show. And I was only 11 or 12 years old. They were 13 and 15. And they'd say, oh, yeah, sure, you're always dreaming. You've always got... Well, I'd still stay up at night, and everybody else would go off to sleep, and I would be watching the show. I'd watch it every single night, all of his funny routines that he did and all the characters on it and everything. And I could see myself. I could picture myself sitting on the panel there and having him interview me or having him be there with me and all of that. And that passed, and many, many things like that, though, in my life that I thought about. Well, the irony of ironies is that 1976, 25 years later, I'm the author of a book that is at the top of the bestseller list around the world, Your Erroneous Zones. I'm invited to do The Tonight Show, and Shecky Green is the host that night. It was the very first time I ever did the show, out of 34 or 35 times. I was so excited. It was like a dream come true that I was going to be on The Tonight Show. I'd already done several other big shows and all of that, but this was really something big. I went over, there was a bank of phones outside the green room where you get dressed for the show. I decided to call my wife and family back home and tell them that I was going to be on and Shecky Green was going to be the host and so on. I went over to the phone, I picked up the phone, and I called my wife and I was talking to her, and then on the phone next to me, in this bank of phones, Steve Allen. Steve Allen is standing there talking on the phone to his wife. And I take the phone receiver out of my hand and telling my wife, I said, you're not going to believe this, but Steve Allen is standing here right next to me. And I take the phone and reach it over so that she can hear his voice. And he's talking to his wife. And he's looking at me like, who is this crazy guy? Well, it turns out that the very first guest on the show that night was Steve Allen. After all those years, and there I was sitting there talking to him. A lot of people will label a situation like that as circumstances, you know, or just coincidence, or just blind random luck or whatever. I've come to know that there's no such thing in the universe, that what you think about expands, and that if you have a thought in your mind and you stay with that thought and you know it to be true, that it's just a matter of bringing it into form. And if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to bring it into form, it's going to happen for you. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. And I don't think there's anything random about it. I just don't even believe in randomness at all. I think that everything in the universe is absolutely perfect at the tiniest subatomic level and at the largest level.
The people who have great talent are very often those who have really had the vision, and then with the vision, they have manifested themselves a mind that is capable somehow of creating in it a picture of themselves performing at this level. The great talent of a Baryshnikov, the great talent of a Mozart, the great talent of a Michael Jordan, in three diverse areas, you've got people, first and foremost, who believe that they can do that, who work hard, who struggle and all of that, of course, and practice and all of those things. But by and large, they have a vision within that they can do that. Michael Jordan doesn't, as on his way up to the stratosphere to dunk a basketball, doesn't say to himself on his way up, gee, I wonder if I can do this again. I'm not sure that I can jump this high. A Baryshnikov doesn't say as he's on stage performing, gee, I wonder if this is possible for me to make this pirouette. I haven't done this in a while. A Mozart doesn't sit down to compose and say, gee, I don't know if I can do this or not do that. They have within them this knowing, and you have within them yourself also a knowing, and your intentions in your life have come from that knowing. Your intentions have flown from a knowing that I don't have the talent. Talented people's intentions have come from the knowing that I do. See, it's in that belief. All great talents have that belief, and your belief is that you don't have it. If you shift that around, and if you're doubting right now, if you're saying, yes, but I can't dunk a basketball, or I can't compose music, or I can't dance like a Baryshnikov, the doubt is exactly what you will manifest into the physical world. The molecules that will come from that thought of, he's wrong and I can't do that, will be your reality. If you want to create new molecules in the physical world, you have to change around that inner reality. One of the things that keeps us from getting to high levels of talent for ourselves and visualizing this is because we have been raised on comparison rather than on cooperation. We have this tendency to believe that we are separate from other people. And that is, of course, only in the physical world. And that inner connection of the invisible self doesn't matter. That part doesn't count, so we're not trained in that area. So what we do is, because we're separate, then we say, well, how does my separate entity compare to the other separate entity over there? And if this one can do that, then I can't do that. And all of a sudden, we've developed this entire code of what is talent and what isn't, what is ability and what isn't, based exclusively on how people size up to each other. Understand that you and that other are one. You are at the quantum level, you are connected, you are all one. And that if you didn't have somebody else to compare yourself to, then you would have all the talent in the world. If you'd never had a chance to look at somebody else singing, and your singing was all that you had ever heard, that would be the greatest singing in the world. That's what you have to understand. That's where you have to go with it. You don't have to buy into this notion that my talent is based upon how it sizes up to others. That's what we have sort of pushed on people in our culture, but it isn't something you have to buy into.
Rule the world, rule the universe, that your thoughts are literally what you will create. And if your thoughts are based upon some kind of doubt, that this isn't possible for you, or this is ridiculous, or you can't do that, It's always very easy for me to know whether or not someone that I'm talking to who wants to lose weight, or someone who wants to quit smoking, or wants to leave their drug habit behind, or wants to win the lottery, or wants to have a divine relationship, or whatever it is. It's so easy to see whether or not they're going to be able to manifest that in their life. Because in about 2 minutes, they will come up with reasons why it can't happen. Oh, that's not possible. No, you can't do things like that. No, those kind of things only happen to other people. That's just luck. Because if what you think about is what expands, and what you think about is that it can't happen, then it can't happen has to expand. If what you think about in your relationships is what is wrong, what is missing, what you don't like, what is whatever, then that will be the nature of your relationship, and that is what will expand. So that once you understand that what you think about is what expands, or as you think, so shall you be, once that becomes your reality and you know that, you get real careful about what you think about. You do. Yeah. And so when you find yourself going back into that old agreement that you've made with reality, which is, I'm going to have to think these thoughts when these things happen to me. I can't do anything else about it. This is just the way I am. I've always been that way. It's my nature. It's just the kind of person I am. What do you expect from me? I'm Italian. Or whatever it is. And you go back to that and you hang on to that, then that is what you're going to manifest. And it's like changing that agreement. You have to change it all. You have to really let go of all of the stuff that you've been taught. You know, like, can you be in more than one place at the same time? Can you change your shape and shapeshift? Can you communicate telepathically with someone who isn't in the room? Can you read auras? Can you defy gravity? Can you enter the dreams of another person? For those of you who know that such things are not possible, I invite you to get your money back. Because we're going into a new realm. I mean, I'm not just coming out of the closet with this spiritual stuff, but I'm ripping the door off as I get out of there, all right? Because I don't just believe, I know. I absolutely know. And it's that knowing that I want to get into your heart. And once the knowing is there, then all of the events and all of the things that you start seeing show up in your life become just details.
Your thoughts, this invisible intelligence, are something that you control, and they originate with you. So you are the origin of what you choose to think about. That is the beauty of higher awareness. That is the beauty of being a human being. As a human being, you can think what you want to think. You can do what you wish with this organizing intelligence within the parameters of the body that you showed up in. You have the capacity to leave that body. You have the capacity to make that body into as healthy a specimen as you want it to be, and as wealthy a specimen as you want it to be. But most of all, it's important to understand what Emerson said. The ancestor to every action in the physical world is a thought. The ancestor to your listening to this tape right now is a thought. I think I'll turn this tape on. I think I'll listen to this side of this tape today. You have to have that thought first. That thought originates with you. So that invisible intelligence that is within you, that created you, that is the wisdom that allows you to be. See, when you believe in yourself, when you trust in yourself, you trust in the wisdom that created you. That wisdom that created you, that divine intelligence, is within you, and yet you have the capacity to choose how to use it or how to access it. Those who manifest miracles and experience miracles in their life know that they have the power to make it happen. I remember doing the Oprah Winfrey Show, and I knew Oprah a long time ago when she used to be a talk show hostess in Baltimore. And I got to know her well, and she's a wonderful, beautiful, spiritual soul, really. And I was really thrilled to see her success and when she went to Chicago and then went national and became syndicated and became one of the best-known personalities in the country. And when she got up there, and after a couple of years of her great success, I got a phone call from them one day, and they said, would you come on and do the show? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. And I flew up to Chicago, and Oprah was in the green room, and she was coming to greet the guests. And, of course, we hadn't seen each other in a while, but we knew each other quite well. We were very fond of each other. And she came up to me, and I said, Oprah, congratulations on all your great success. And she said, thanks. I created it. Those were her exact words to me. I created it. And she wasn't being snippy, and she wasn't saying there weren't other people who helped me. She was saying, the thought to have this originated with me. And it did, because she used to tell me in those days when she was teaming up and doing a co-hostess job on a small station in Baltimore, that I can create this magnificence in my life. She always believed that and had that power. And that vision never left. And so if you know and understand that your thoughts, whatever they are, originate with you, what we're really saying here is that you create your own life, because you are what you think about all day long. As you think, so shall you be, is the theme of this entire program. As you think, not as you be, so shall you think. Your thoughts aren't going to come from what you do out there physically, unless you want to maintain a real status quo kind of life. But as you think, your thoughts originate with you. You have the capacity to create your life with your thoughts.